Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. A couple of very familiar verses. Some of you probably have these verses memorized. I think we'll read them together in unison. Just two verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. You ready? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word sometimes pricks our hearts and shows us our sin, and very frequently it does. It's not always easy. Lord, we pray today that you would do that for each of us. Help us to search our hearts. You search our hearts, Lord. Help us to know, see what you are trying to do in our lives. We know you want us to conform to the image of Christ. Sometimes that's an uphill battle and a struggle, and we pray that you just help us today to get a little closer to that goal, I pray. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you bless the words of my mouth and use them for eternity. Lord, help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't preached a message, as far as I remember or recall, on the subject of bitterness for quite some time. I think it was like 2010, 8 years ago the last time. Before that, I had preached on it a number of times, but it's been a while. And so I want to bring a message today just on that subject, the subject of bitterness. Bitterness is usually associated with unforgiveness toward an offender. We call it taking offense sometimes, irritation, resentment, holding a grudge, and anger, and oftentimes manifests itself in anger. Somebody said this about bitterness. Bitterness is unforgiveness fermented. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or we could put it this way. Resentment is a slow cooker. Now, when we're talking about bitterness, we're not always talking about bitterness against a person, though that's usually the case, frequently the case. But sometimes it's bitterness against a circumstance in our life. We don't like the circumstance we're in. Maybe it's a position in our family we don't like. I was youngest in my family, always wanted a little brother, never got to have one. And when I was a kid, I was kind of bitter about that, you know. I guess I wanted a little brother to pick on, I don't know. But at any rate, that irritated me. And sometimes there are just circumstances in our lives that we have no control over, really. They're just there, but we're irritated. We don't like that circumstance that we're in. Now, the reality of that is we're not really bitter against the circumstance. We're really bitter against God, because God's the one that brought that circumstance into our life, you see. If it's a position in the family, you didn't have any control over that. God did that. So if you're bitter about that, that means that you're bitter against God, you see. So But we're not really going to focus on that so much, more on bitterness against individuals, against people, because that's a very common thing, just a real regular problem that a lot of Christians have. And I think we need to look at this subject again. Now let me give you an example of this, what I just said, though, about bitterness toward God. I think Naomi was bitter toward God. Remember when Naomi had gone with her family to Moab because of famine. She was there for 10 years. Bad things happened all the time she was there. She was living amongst idolatrous people, just testing her faith all the time, no doubt. Her husband died there, and her two sons died there. So 10 years had gone by. Now she's coming back to Bethlehem, and she just has her daughter-in-law with her, her daughter-in-law Ruth. She comes into this town of Bethlehem, and the people of Bethlehem, they look at her and they wonder if that's really Naomi. Is this really Naomi, they said? Now, that would indicate to me that she probably had changed a lot. I mean, the years of trials and grief in her life had made her an old woman, really, in 10 years. Is this really Naomi? And Naomi answered and said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty." The word Mara means bitter. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." She was blaming God for her problems. And sometimes we do that. That's a bad kind of bitterness. Don't get bitter against God for where you're at. But we mostly want to talk about bitterness against people. Now, I've got to say this, and I'll talk more about this in a few minutes, but I've had a struggle with bitterness all of my life. I'm confessing some sin to you now, okay? I didn't really want to preach this sermon because I don't like confessing sins from the pulpit, okay? That's not fun. But I've had a struggle with bitterness all my life, and I've had to fight against it all my life. It's a generational sin. My dad had a problem with it. My dad had a terrible problem with it. I can remember many times when he blew his cork when I was a kid growing up. He always came back and asked for forgiveness. Praise the Lord for that. But I remember many times. And I thought he got over it. I thought he, he doesn't have this problem anymore. He's finally matured out of this. But when he was 90 years old, they wouldn't give him his driver's license. Imagine that. And he was bitter and angry at the DMV. I tell you what, he just didn't have anything nice to say about them for a long time. He was really mad about that. So he really had, I guess life had just gotten easier for him or something, and there were no irritations in his life. A boy, when something like that came up, it flared up again, you see. I want to tell you something. Bitterness can be a lifelong problem. It was for my dad. It is for me. I struggle with it. So is overcoming bitterness easy? Never. It's never easy. This is one of those kind of sins that is really a struggle. I mean, every besetting sin that we have certainly is a struggle for us, but this is really a struggle. It's not easy. You know, if you say, well, you've got victory over it, or you feel like you have victory over it, and it will never happen again, you know what? That's not true. It'll come back again. It will. It might be a year later, it might be a month later, it might be a day later, it might be an hour later, it'll come back. And you'll have to deal with it all over again and get victory over it again. Sometimes we might get a little discouraged about that. We say, man, how can I get victory over this? I really laid this thing down. I confessed it. And I asked God to take it away. And it still keeps coming back and haunting me. A story that Corrie Ten Boom tells is she was having a struggle with this. Remember when she was in the prison camp there in Germany? And terrible, terrible things went on there. Terrible persecution to the prisoners. And she had some serious, serious resentment and bitterness toward the Germans and what happened there. She forgave them. She felt like she prayed and she asked God for help, and she forgave them. But it kept coming back. It just kept on repeating. The thoughts would come back into her mind again, and she would relive that over again. So she asked a pastor one time, I don't understand this. Well, I've confessed it. I've gotten it right with God, but it keeps coming back. What is wrong? And he said, well, bitterness is sort of like this. Up in the bell tower of our church, there's this big bell, and there's a rope that hangs down, and you pull that rope to make the bell ring. You pull that rope, and the ring goes clang, clang, clang. And he said, but when you stop pulling the rope, it still goes clang, clang, clang for a while until it finally is silent. That's kind of how unforgiveness and bitterness is. Once you quit pulling the rope, you know, gradually, it's better. But the problem is, every time we go back and pull the rope again, we just start it up again. See, it just starts clanging again. And oh my, it just doesn't seem long to go away. So, that's the nature of bitterness. Now, in my experiences as a person who has struggled with bitterness all his life, I want to share with you some things that I've learned about it. And I hope this will help you. Four things that I've learned about bitterness. I think I've learned more than this, but four basic things. First of all, I have learned the wonderful joy and blessing of freedom from bitterness. You say, oh, I thought you were a bitter person. No, I didn't say that. I said I struggle with bitterness. Sometimes I get victory over it. And when I do, whew, man, that feels good. When I don't, it feels really bad. There is a wonderful, refreshing thing that happens when we get victory over our bitterness. Victory always feels so good. I remember when I was a kid and I used to like to go to the football games in Kelso. I grew up in Kelso and I was very loyal. Now, Kelso and Longview always had a big rivalry going between them with football games. Every year on Thanksgiving, we played Longview, R.A. Long. And man, there were fights, and I mean, it was bitter. There was a bitter, bitter hostility between the two football teams. And sometimes they'd burn our goalposts if we, you know, they come to play over in Kelso and they'd burn our goalposts. I'd do something, you know. But I remember, not always, but every so often we'd beat them. But that felt so good when we beat those guys. Man, I'll tell you what, victory felt so good. Everybody was jumping around and shouting and hooping and hollering. Victory feels so good. I want to tell you something. Victory over bitterness feels really good too. It really, really does. It's like a cool, refreshing mountain spring. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Bitterness is like that dry and thirsty land. And when you take that, you find that nice cool spring and you drink of that refreshing water, whoo, man, that feels good. And that's how it feels when you're relieved from bitterness. Bitterness is very oppressive, and that's why it feels so good when you're relieved from it. Let's look at the definitions of the word for a minute. And Strong's definition is 4088, if you want to ever look that up. And it's used in Romans chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, where we just read, and Hebrews chapter 12. The word simply means a piercing, a sharp piercing, or poison is what the word means. Poison. In Romans chapter 3, and that's the chapter that talks about the characteristics of a sinner, of the wicked. There's a whole list of things there, you know, horrible, horrible sins that the wicked commit. And, of course, the whole point of the Apostle Paul there is trying to show us that we're all sinners. We all fall in that category. But he gets down there to verse 13 and 14, and he says, he calls it the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Bitterness, that's one of the places where the word bitterness is used, meaning poison. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They say that a rattlesnake, if it gets cornered and it can get very angry. And in fact, it can get so angry that it will actually bite itself and inject its own poison into its own body. And that's kind of how bitterness is. Like poison, like biting yourself with poison, you see. Somebody said it this way. I saw this one time on a church billboard sign. And it said, bitterness is like taking rat poison and hoping the other person dies. That's a pretty good way of looking at it, isn't it? That's what it's like. You're not going to hurt the other person a bit. But you're sure killing yourself. So, first of all, bitterness is like poison. Secondly, the Bible calls it trouble. It's troublesome. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 with me now. This is another place where the word is used. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is trouble. It's trouble because it causes misery. It causes unhappiness. If you're living in bitterness, you are a miserable, unhappy person. That's just all there is to it. But something else about this verse too. Another form of trouble here comes as a result of the bitterness. So you don't always see bitterness on the surface. Bitterness is under the ground. Bitterness is in the roots. Okay, that's what it says here. the root of bitterness. It's down there, and as the roots get more established and better rooted, get down into the good soil, down into the moisture, and where they can get lots of moisture and everything. Example: when we planted these trees out here along the fence a couple of years ago, that first year after we planted them, somebody had to water them a couple times a week, or they're just going to die. The reason for that is the roots hadn't established and gone deep yet, and they needed a lot of water put on them. But you know, this year I haven't watered them once. Nobody's watered them, and they're flourishing. They're doing great, and the reason is because the roots are well established now, and they're down into where there's good moisture, and they can get all the moisture they need. And I mean, the entry, I don't know if you can't see it very well right here, but the entry there, a deer got it, ate about half of it, and I thought it was going to survive. It just looked like, man, that one's had it. Started turning brown and everything, but it bounced back. Now, it's still kind of dwarfed compared to the rest of them, but it bounced back. Why? Because the roots were established, you see. So, with bitterness is the root. And the more established that bitterness becomes, the deeper those roots get in your life, guess what? There are things above the surface that are going to show up. And they're going to show up as a result of how well the root is established. That's what this verse is talking about. What are those things that spring up out of the root of bitterness? Such things as anger, visible anger, meanness, broken relationships, and even physical and mental illness can result from the root of bitterness. There's a lot of trouble that comes because of bitterness, in other words. That's what this verse is trying to tell us here in Hebrews 12:15. A third thing about bitterness here is that it is not only troublesome to us, but it also is torturous to us. It torments us. Now look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This is the parable about the two debtors, verses 32 through 35. I won't read the whole parable, but I'll start with verse 32. Matthew 18, 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the, what does it say? Tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Here's what this is talking about. God will see to it. And God is God. He can do this. Okay? God will see to it that if we hold bitterness in our hearts towards somebody, that we will have torment from it. That's what this verse is talking about. We will not be able to have some kind of a false sense of joy. We will not be able to go to bed at night and be able to rest easy and peacefully. None of those things are going to happen. We're going to be tormented because of that bitterness. And God will see to it that we're tormented because of that bitterness. Because he wants us to get rid of that bitterness. He's trying to motivate us to surrender and get rid of it. But we want to hang on to it, and torment is a result of that. Bitterness is, well, it's sort of like, this. You hold the prison door open, inviting yourself in. The bed looks comfortable and inviting in the prison cell, but it turns out to be a torture rack. You see, that's the nature of bitterness. Yeah, it's inviting. Yeah, it just seems like, I mean, that person, what they did to me, you cannot believe it. They are so bad. They were so wrong. And you're going to go on and on and on. And you just walk, you just put yourself in that prison and lay down on that torture chamber. That's what it amounts to. Truth of the matter is, Christians are supposed to have joy. Do you believe that? Huh? Yeah, we're supposed to have joy. Can't have joy with bitterness. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore." 1 Peter 1:8 tells us to rejoice with joy unspeakable. We have a lot to be joyful about, a lot to be happy about, but bitterness will destroy that joy. We will not be able to be happy. Not that we will not be able to have joy if we're holding on to bitterness. Oh, freedom from bitterness feels so good. Remember how you felt when you got saved? The freedom you felt from sin. I mean, from the guilt, from the penalty of sin. And even the power of sin. You may not realize you got delivered from the power of sin then, but you did. And one day you'll be delivered from the presence of sin. What a wonderful freedom there is in being a Christian. But we can put ourselves right back in that prison cell again of no freedom with bitterness if we're not careful. We're not going to lose our salvation, but we can lose the joy of our salvation with bitterness. Romans 6:6-7 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Oh, what a blessing it is to be free from sin and be free from the sin of bitterness. The second thing I learned, first thing is the wonderful blessing of being free from bitterness. The second thing I learned is that in order to deal with bitterness in my life, first of all, I have to acknowledge it. I have to acknowledge it. I have to face it. I've already done that here a few minutes ago. By the way, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else here today, okay? I need to hear this sermon today, okay? So if you want to listen in, that's fine. But I had to acknowledge that I had a problem with bitterness. That's not fun to do. We never like to face our own sin, do we? That's the nature of bitterness, is that it is very difficult to recognize in ourselves. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Freedom requires that you stop thinking about sinful offenses of others and instead focus on only your own sinful behavior. You must see your own wicked heart of bitterness and stop looking at others. Oftentimes people will say very bitterly, "I'm not bitter." You know, boy, that's a dead giveaway, isn't it? So you say, well, how do you know? What was a good test to find out if we're bitter or not? It is difficult to see it in ourselves, so how do we know? All right, I want you to listen to these questions. Because these questions will tell us whether or not we have a problem with bitterness, okay? I read this over last night, and man, I had to pray and ask God again to forgive me, okay? I was struggling again last night. And again this morning, I was struggling with something. 5 o'clock this morning, I couldn't sleep. Woke up, I'm a little tired today. I didn't get enough sleep last night. It was coming up again. That tendency of bitterness, it was coming up again. And for about an hour, I laid there in bed struggling with it and praying and asking God to take it away. And finally, I got victory over it. But I tell you what, it's not easy. And it's not easy to recognize. But here's a test for us to see if we're bitter. Who is that person that frequently comes to mind? Who do you lay awake at night thinking about, planning what to say to that person if you ever get a chance? Who is it that causes a rush inside of you every time you see them? Who do you try to avoid because you know your temperature will rise if you make eye contact? Who is your favorite subject to gossip in a gossip session? What name do you hear that angers you most? Do you live in the past, reliving those old offenses? Do those offenses become more mountainous every time you relive them? Does your voice raise and become intense as you talk about them to others? I think these are some very convicting questions that we need to ask ourselves today. So I've learned that bitterness is hard to recognize, but we must acknowledge bitterness if we're going to have any victory. And then another thing I learned is that we have a choice. We can either surrender bitterness to God, or we can surrender to bitterness. So surrender here is a big issue. Who are you going to surrender to? Are you going to surrender to God, or are you going to surrender to bitterness? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. You'll never have victory in your life without surrender to the Lord about this, and about any other sin for that matter. So we have a choice. Who or what will we surrender to? Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 kind of lays this out for us. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So we have a choice there. Who are we going to yield to? Now, as an unsaved person doesn't have that choice. They're going to yield to sin every time. But we as believers, we as Christians, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we do have that choice. We can yield to the Holy Spirit, or we can yield to our sin. That we always have that choice as believers. Sometimes we choose wrong. Sometimes we choose right. So we can choose to surrender to bitterness, or we can choose to surrender to God. If we surrender to bitterness, we'll remain in bondage and torture, and we'll continue eating the rat poison of bitterness. Now, I got to say this again. Bitterness is a battle. It is a struggle. It is not something that we get victory over one time in our life and it goes away and we never have a problem with it again. That's not how it works. You see, we're in a war. And this war lasts until we go to heaven. Did you know that? Daniel, did you know that? I got to wake him. I thought maybe you were sleeping. You're reading your Bible, right? Okay. But we face many battles in this war. See, wars are made up of battles. You understand that? Most wars that are fought, there are many battles that take place before the final victory is won. And we're going to fight many battles throughout this lifetime with the sin of bitterness until we finally win the war when we get to heaven. Okay, that's how it works. That's the truth. That's where it's at. No way around it. Now, you say, well, how are we going to win this battle? How are we going to win this war? You know, the colonists during the Revolutionary War, they lost so many battles. They lost way more battles than they won with the English. But guess who won the war? We won the war. So how does that work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. The English just got tired of fighting after a while. And the Americans, they were fighting for survival, and they had the perseverance to stay in there. I mean, they were going to fight to the last man. English just couldn't handle that. And we finally won the war because of perseverance. Now, I want to tell you something. We are in this battle. We're in this war, and we need to fight each battle every day and get victory every day. If we can, there will be some battles we're going to lose. One day we're going to have total victory, but in the meantime, we need to win as many of these battles as we can through the strength and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're in a battle. Don't think that the battle is over when you win. I mean, don't think the war is over when you win one battle. That's just not. It's not how it works. The War of 1812, the English tried it again. 2 years later. And they faced off with the stubborn Americans again. The British fleet, the powerful British fleet that ruled the waters of the world, came against little Fort Henry. And they started bombing Fort Henry. They had on board one of the warships, Francis Scott Key, who was a prisoner of war. And he stood there on the deck of the ship all night long, looked over the railing toward Fort McHenry. And the bombs were blasting away at it, continuously, a constant barrage all night long. But every time there was a bomb that went off, there would be a burst of light, and he'd see the flag still flying. He saw hope. And then early in the morning, as the dawn came, and in those early morning hours, the twilight hours, he could see the flag. It was still standing. And you know, he penned the words to that poem that we sing as the Star Spangled Banner, or National Anthem. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Well, we won that war, too. The dead were piled up in Fort McHenry. Somebody said that there was the dead and dying were laying around the flagpole, holding the flagpole up. The flag was all tattered and torn by the bombs that had gone off, but it was still there in the morning. You see, that's kind of how our battles with sin is in general, but specifically the sin of bitterness. We can be in intense battles with it. I mean, it can be so severe sometimes that, you know, our flag is all tattered and torn, and we're wounded and ragged and bloody, but we fight on. We're onward Christian soldiers, you see. Is that right, Jared? Amen. You say, you know, I was saved 56 years ago. I've been fighting this battle for 56 years, or these battles. You say, are you tired? Yep, I'm tired. Are you bloody? Yep, I'm bloody. Are you wounded? Yep, I'm wounded. Are you worn out? Yep, I'm worn out. Are you going to give up? No, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to fight on to the end. Onward, Christian soldiers. You might lose a battle once in a while, but you need to get up and fight again. Amen? Is that right, David? Yeah. We'll lose battles here and there, but we need to get up and fight again. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. You see that? That was the difference between the English and the colonists. You see. You couldn't keep the colonists down. You kept trying to kill them, destroy them, destroy America. But they had such a heart for survival and for victory, they were not going to quit. They were not going to give in, even though they lost all those battles. And that needs to be what we do. Lose a battle now and then. We need to try not to lose battles, but if we do, we need to get up and fight again. See? 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight on, good soldier. Fight on. Fight on we must, for in our captain we trust. And that brings me to my last point. Faith will oppose bitterness. What does it take to have victory? To have victory in the battle? Faith. It takes faith. Jesus said to the disciples that offenses will come. It must needs be that offenses will come. It can't be helped. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to come into your life and they're going to offend you, and you're going to feel resentment toward that person, and maybe even some bitterness toward that person. That's going to happen.
Okay? Don't think that you'll get by without having to go to war here. You're not going to get to be a conscientious objector here. You're in the battle, whether you like it or not. But what we need to understand, when offenses do come, we need to realize that God allowed that to happen in our lives. God actually wanted that offense to come. Now, it also says, woe unto the person by whom the offense comes. But God actually wanted that offense to come into our lives. You say, man, how do we reconcile that? Because God is trying to teach us and conform us to His image, and He knows that if we never have to fight a battle, we'll be weak, and we will never learn anything what He wants to teach us. You see? A soldier learns how to fight by fighting. Okay? You get to be a better soldier by more practice. That makes sense? More fighting. So, we're in the battle, and we need to realize that God has allowed those things in our lives, and we need to face it, and we need to reconcile that. We need to say, okay, God, I don't know why You did it, but I'll accept it, and I want to get victory over this. Help me get victory over this. Help me win. Help me win this battle. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Bad things happen to us because God loves us. He's got a plan for our lives, you see. Joseph said to his brothers late in the story, after all the wickedness and evil they had done to him, and there they were down in Egypt, at the end of the book of Genesis, and Joshua said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We have faith in God that He's the captain. He knows what He's doing. And He's allowing certain things in our lives that might be very uncomfortable. But He has a purpose in it. He's growing us. First Peter chapter 2. Oh, let me back up a little bit here. I skipped something I want to give you. Romans 14. We need to believe that God will make all things equal and right in the end. Do you believe that? No. Now, He might make some things equal and right in the meantime. He might or He might not. But He will make everything equal and right in the end. Romans 14:10-13 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. 1 Peter 2:23 says, who when he was reviled, speaking of Christ, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. We need to commit ourselves to the one who judges righteously and leave it in his hands, you see. That's faith. Believing that God will do that. And then we need to cast our burden on the Lord, as it tells us in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know why we have trouble with bitterness? We can't get over it. We forgot to pray about it. forgot to ask God to help us. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. We need God's help.
Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms shall take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
You see, what I've learned about bitterness is that we just need to leave it with God and trust him. Let him take care of it. It's his business. He brought it into our lives. He brought the offense into our lives. And we just need to let him take care of it. Turn it over to him. We can be free then, you see. I've got a whole list of things. I got a whole bunch more stuff I'd like to give you, but I'm going to stop there. But these are just some things that I have learned through the battlefield, on the battlefield. I didn't want to preach this message today. It's never, you know, I can tell you about some sin I committed 10 years ago. I don't have a problem with that. But I have a hard time telling you about a sin I committed this morning. Huh? You know? My struggle that I had at 5 o'clock this morning. See? That was not easy for me. It was not easy for me to preach this sermon today. Because I'm preaching it myself. As much as anybody here. But these are some things that I have learned in my 56 years of doing battle with bitterness. I've learned, first of all, the wonderful freedom that we can have from the torment of bitterness. I have learned how difficult it is to recognize bitterness and that we need to acknowledge it. And I've learned that we need to surrender our bitterness to God and not surrender to bitterness. And I've learned that faith is a key in overcoming bitterness, turning it over to God, leaving it with him. So let's pray. Let's stand together first.